Glad you're here. I'm excited that you're here. And I hope you're excited to be here. Looking in Luke's Gospel this morning. Luke chapter 10. This morning we'll be looking verses 25 through 37, Lord willing. On the question, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? That's a question that was asked of Jesus here in this scripture, wanting to know who his neighbor was. And so, you know, there are varying definitions of who a neighbor is. If you ask a dozen people who they considered their neighbors, you'd probably get a dozen different answers. You know, some think a neighbor is the person that lives next to you, maybe lives in your neighborhood, small neighborhood, or on the same street you live on. Different definitions of who a neighbor is, but we're going to find out from the main source. His name is Jesus, who our neighbor really is. Okay, and this scripture there in chapter 10 of Luke, picking up in verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him," this tempted Jesus, "saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, he wasn't really asking the question because he really wanted to know. He was trying to tempt Jesus, trying to trick Jesus. He had an ulterior motive when he asked that question. So Jesus just asked him a question in return, which we see Jesus doing a lot of times. A lot of times when someone asks him a question, he asks a question to clarify what's going on and to give the answer. So Jesus said to this lawyer, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" How do you understand what the law says about how to have eternal life? And the lawyer said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Quoting scripture from back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe it is, verses 4 and 5, the commandments. I don't have my notes. My printer messed up this morning. But anyway, yes, chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, verse 4 and 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And so this lawyer knew what the law said. You know, that's one of the commandments. And then the other part of that, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, is found in Leviticus. And so he answered that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So he knew what the right answer was, and he told Jesus that. And so Jesus simply said, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." You know, many times we know what to say. We know what the right answer is. We even know how to talk the talk. But Jesus said there's more to it than just talking the talk. There's more to it than just knowing what we're supposed to do. And so he said, "That's good. You know what you do." I mean, it's good that you know the right answer. But he said, just do it. Do it. And sometimes we have a tendency to say the right thing, use the right words. But a lot of times we fail to do what the Bible says. Now, what does that mean? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Means that He's got to be number one. We love Him with everything that we are. He's the most important person in our life, bar none. Jesus has got to be number one in your life. And when He is number one in your life, then that takes care of a lot of the other problems, okay? You won't have problems loving your neighbor if Jesus is genuinely number one in your life. And so we need to get that point down first. We need to commit our life to Jesus Christ, knowing that He is, in fact, God's only begotten Son. He died to pay for our sins. We need to commit our lives to Him. We need to begin to live for Him, allow Him to be the Lord or the controlling interest in our life. Every decision we make, everything we do, we ought to do after considering and praying about what His will is. Not what our will is, but what His will is. And His will should be what we all should desire to do in every situation. No matter how good it looks, if it's not the Lord's will, it's not the right thing to do. Satan will paint a beautiful picture. He'll make things look awful good to you, but Satan's a liar. He's a loser. As a matter of fact, Jesus said he's not only a liar, he's the father of lies. Satan is. And so he will lie to you. He will try to make you think things are good. He'll try to make you think that those temptations are going to really be fulfilling in your life. You know, whatever that temptation might be, he'll make it look so pretty. You know, he never paints sin as something ugly. He always paints sin as the most beautiful thing. You know, no matter what it is, no matter how much pain it's going to bring you, he makes it look like the most beautiful thing, the most pleasant, and the most appeasing. But Satan's a liar. And so, here this lawyer, he answers the question right. And Jesus says, go do it. You know? And then, the lawyer said, trying to justify himself, he said, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor today? You know? That's the question that Jesus was asked. Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor today? So Jesus began to give him a parable. He told him a parable, a story about a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. They stripped all his clothes off of him and beat him half death and left him. And then a priest came by. It says, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest thought, he's not my neighbor. You know, I don't have time for him. There are a lot of things that could have been going through this priest's mind. You know, he might have reasoned that, well, you know, he may be dead, and if I touch him, then I'm going to be defiled. You know, because you can't touch a dead body. You know, but whatever the reasoning was wrong. See? Because here's a man that's hurting, that needs help, and the priest, who should be the one that would set a good example, that others would be able to follow that example, he saw him, but he went to the other side of the street and went on by. Didn't have time for him. You know, he had other things to do. He was busy. Have you ever passed up an opportunity to help somebody because you were busy? Or maybe because you didn't like that particular person? The priest didn't know. He didn't know what religious background the guy was. It's amazing how we categorize people and we put people in areas where we don't have anything to do with them, you know. They're different from us. But God don't do that. And I'm glad that He don't. Because I'd be in trouble. Okay, if He did. And frankly, you would too. Okay. I'm glad He don't look at one better than another one. You know. He looks at all of us the same. We're all human beings. We're all His creation. We're all people. We all have needs. And this man had a need. But the priest crossed the street and he went on uncaring and he left the man there. As far as he was concerned, he left him there to die. And then a Levite came along behind the priest. The Levite was a servant in the temple. He was one who worked in the temple. He was following the priest's example. Be careful what you do because there are people watching you. It don't matter who you are. You may think that there's nobody in the world that's watching you and following your example. I beg to differ with you. There are people who are watching you. People who are looking up to you. The people who are making decisions and choices in life because of the decisions and choices you've made. So be careful the choices you make. This Levite came along. He followed the example of the priest. He went across the street and he went on and left the man there, hurting and dying. He didn't help him. Then there was one came by who was a Samaritan. You know, Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. Remember that? Remember the time Jesus witnessed to the Samaritan woman? They couldn't figure that out because they're not supposed to get along. But remember, Jesus loves everybody the same. It don't matter who you are, what your religious preference or your other political preference or whatever the case might be. Jesus loves you just as much as He loves anybody else. Loves you enough that He was willing to give His life to pay your sin debt. Whoever you are and whatever you've done. And so this Samaritan comes by. And he sees the man. And he sees not that he may be a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. He may not have the same religious affiliation I have. He may not have the same preferences that I have. He saw a man who was hurting. He saw a man who had a need. And he was willing to meet that need. He was willing to do all he could to try to help this man. He had compassion on him. You know, rather than turning our nose up on people that don't think like we do, or maybe they've made some bad mistakes like we haven't, you know, I don't think there's anybody in here that's... I think I'm pretty safe in saying that there is no one in here who's never made a mistake. Because I don't... See, I know Jesus is here, but He's not here in physical form, so He's the only one that fits that bill that's never made a mistake. He never did. But every one of us have. Okay? And so, this Samaritan man saw a man who was hurting, saw a man who was in need, and he was able to help him. You know, we need to understand that it don't matter what the situation is, what that person's need is. We may not be able to, we may not have enough money to take care of all their financial needs, or we not may not be able to take care of a lot of other needs, but there's something we can do for that hurting person. If it's nothing more than a word of an encouragement. Sometimes we just need somebody to come along and encourage us to let us know that we are still loved, that God does love us, and that you love that person. You say, well, I'll tell you, some of these people that got some weird ideas and weird ways, and I don't care a thing about them. Well, let me tell you something. You got to love that person. You don't have to love the sin, but you got to love the person. What does the Bible say? Love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Okay? You shouldn't love the sin that's in your life. But you ought to love yourself. You don't need to love the sin that's in that other person's life, but you need to love that person. God don't love the sin, but He loves the individual. He loves us all. If He didn't, we'd be in trouble. Okay? So, this Samaritan sees this man. He's in trouble. And so, he had compassion on him. He cared about him. He was an individual that was made in the very image of God. He had been beaten and robbed and stripped of his clothes and left to die. And this Samaritan realized, there's a man that's in need, and I'm going to help him. There are a lot of people in need today, and we need to be doing all we can to help them. It's getting more and more difficult to find people that are willing to help. I'm involved in a few different things, but with the fire department, we're always looking for someone to help out, you know, someone to volunteer their time. People out there are in need. They're hurting, you know, there are accidents, there's sickness, there's a need, and there's a need for volunteers to help out. The church always has opportunities for people to serve, and it's a lot of times difficult to find someone who has the time and the concern to do that. But here this Samaritan sees this man, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him, the Bible says, and he bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine in his wounds, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn to take care of him. He didn't just go by there and say, you know, we're real good when we hear about a person that's in need, you know, somebody's hurting, somebody needs something. We Christians are really good to say, I'll be praying for you as we walk on by. And that person saying, yeah, I appreciate your prayers, but I could use a little hand right now to get up. You know, I'm down. I can't get up. I could use your hand to help me up. I appreciate your prayers. And a lot of times, instead of saying, I'll be praying for you, we could just go ahead and say, I'll tell you what, let's just have prayer right now. Having a bad day? Let's just have prayer. Can I pray with you? Be surprised how many times that will lift a person up, will help that person, because that person sees you as someone who has compassion, who cares about them, someone who considers them as your neighbor, another human being that is created in God's image. And so we can just stop and say, maybe we don't have the resources to fix their problem. I know the one who does. Okay? And so, why don't we just say, I tell you what, you mind me praying with you? Can we have prayer now? And I'll continue to pray for you later, but let's pray. And it will amaze you what it'll do for that person. when you just care about them. But you know, it's easy to say, "Ah, brother, I'll be praying for you. You know, I would help you, but I'm too busy right now." You know. Ever had anybody tell you, "Hey, brother, if you need some help, just call me anytime. Anytime you need help, you call me, I'll be there." "Hey, man, I'm in a bind. I sure could use some help. Oh, man, I'd love to go help you, but I got a fishing trip planned today. Well, this is my only day off, and I've already got some things planned. I'd love to help. Call me when you need me." Talk's cheap. Talk is cheap. But actions speak louder than words. Okay? This Samaritan was genuine. He felt compassion. He met this man's needs. He doctored his wounds and he took him to an inn and took care of him for the rest of the day, we assume, or maybe a day or two until he had to go on. But when he had to go on, he didn't just leave him without help. He left with instructions for them to take care of him. And he said, "When I come back, I'll take care of any expense that he's incurred. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of him." This Samaritan really genuinely cared. And so, Jesus asked the question to the lawyer, "Which of these three was a neighbor to the one who had fallen among the thieves, the one who had been beaten, who had been stripped of his clothes and everything he had? Who was a neighbor?" And it was pretty easy for the lawyer to figure that out. He said it's the one who had mercy on him. And then hear what Jesus said to him: "Go and do thou likewise." You go and do the same thing. Begin to see people with a need and don't walk across the street. Don't turn your head and go the other way. He said, start helping people. Start seeing the need and responding to the need. All of us have people who are in need. We encounter people every day who have needs, differing needs. There's all sorts of people out there. There's all sorts of needs out there. But every one of us encounters people who are in need, whether we're students still in class in school. There's students there that have needs. They're hurting. A lot of people are hurting today. So many children are just kind of like in the way at home. And you may not can fix their family situation, but you can certainly encourage them when you have opportunity, whether you're at school or at a ball game or wherever you are. Those who are in the workforce, you know, co-workers having a bad day, come in, you know, all kinds of needs. Maybe they're having problems in their marriage or they're just struggling, you know, with a rebellious child or whatever the case might be. And they just need somebody to encourage them. Somebody to genuinely show compassion on them. To genuinely let them know, "Hey, God loves you and I love you. Okay? And I'll do all I can to help you." We may not can fix their situation, we can encourage them. We can be compassionate on them, genuinely, not just with words, you know. And encouragement. We all need encouragement. The preacher don't need encouraging, right? You know, he's above all that, right? Wrong. You might not believe how much it helps when someone just speaks some encouraging words from time to time. I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. You know. I know you go through some rough times. Just know I'm praying for you. God will take care of you. And God does. I appreciate that. Okay? But we need to do more of that. We need to begin to be more other focused and less self focused. We need to be able to see the needs, not just see the need, but to have compassion, genuine, and to try to encourage and help that person who's struggling and going through a difficult time. Is anybody here that's never been through a difficult time? Don't raise your hands, because everybody raised a hand. We've all been there. We've had some really tough times, different situations, but we've all been through some tough times. May have been a tough financial time. May have been a tough time in relationship in the family with a child or with a parent or with a spouse or with a sibling or whatever the case might be. We've all been through some difficult times. Okay? People go through things every day. They need encouraging. Let's do not be like the priest and the Levite. Don't walk across the street and turn your head. Don't act like you didn't see it. Don't act like you didn't hear the pain in their voice when they were talking to you. Listen and respond with compassion, with concern, with care. If we have more people do this, we'll have a lot better world. The church will be a lot more prosperous if just the people in the church would begin to practice that. Not just here, I'm talking about the church as a whole. A lot of needs. A lot of needs that are not being met because of a lack of compassion. Love on people. Encourage them. Not the sin, but the individual. They're made in God's image, just like you are. They got a heart just like you got. They got a soul just like you got. And that soul is either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell one day. And the way you treat that person could very well be part of the determining factor as to where they're going to spend their eternity. So make sure that your influence is a positive influence that's going to lead them towards a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that when they leave this world, they'll spend eternity in heaven, not in hell. Ultimately, that's what we're here for. We're here to try to lead other people to faith in Jesus Christ. Not just here in this building for that purpose. We are alive for that purpose, to share Jesus with others. Let's do that. Compassionately and caring. Father, God, we love you and we thank you so much. God, I thank you that you didn't walk across the street when I had a need. I'm thankful that you love me. You love me in spite of me, in spite of all my faults and failures, in spite of all the mistakes I've made in my life. You still loved me. You loved me enough. You paid my sin debt. For that I'm grateful. Lord, I thank you that you still love me. Lord, not that you just love me, but that you love all of us. God, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to be a witness to someone else, to encourage the hurting, the downtrodden. Lord, just to love on them, just to have compassion on them, care about them, genuine compassion, not fake, genuine. Lord, help us to be a better example of Christ. For Lord, we are, as professing Christians, we are the only Christ some folks ever see. So what kind of Christ are they looking at? Are they looking at one that really cares? Or one who is self-centered and could care less about us because we're different from them? Help us, Lord, to be that one who cares. Father, there are needs here in this building this morning. We know that. God, there's not a need that you don't care about. There's not a need that you can't meet. Lord, we know that if we'll just surrender it to you, if we'll trust the Lord with all our heart and stop leaning on our own understanding, trying to do it our own way, Lord, to allow you to help us, to forgive us, and to help us up, to move forward, to be a better person, a better Christian, better neighbor. Lord, I pray right now for that hurting person that they not hold back, that they not continue to try to do it on their own, but they didn't simply allow you to help them today. And then, Lord, help us all to be more compassionate, be more caring on all those that we come in contact with. We love you. We thank you for all things. In Christ's name and for your sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. The song says, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." That's the only way we can come. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't get right. We come to Him just like we are. We say, "God, I'm here. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of forgiveness, in need of salvation." He will forgive us. He'll save us. Maybe you're here and you've accepted Christ, but you've strayed away from that. You've allowed Satan to distract you and discourage you, and you're not living the life you ought to be living right now. You need to rededicate, recommit your life to Him. Say, "God, forgive me. Help me to get back in right relationship with you today." Whatever the needs, there may be other needs here. God knows the need. You know the need.